You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
There's that sound. A sound that means another week is upon us. We're going to break down games all throughout the next 2 hours. I'm Mike Blewett along with George Kurtz. We are the Roto Experts in the Morning. This is the Saturday edition. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving holiday. I'm playing with a little bit of an injury today, a broadcasting injury. I'm under the weather, I'm hopped up.
We've been busting Sealy's chops all week. We didn't want to hear from you.
I heard about his regimen of medication.
Blah blah blah.
Yeah. So, I'm here. I got my tea. I got my vitamin C. And I'm ready to rock along here with George Kurtz for the next 2 hours.
Go breathe that way.
Yeah, see, he's already ticked off me, folks. So I usually get through the first segment without him being angry. But it's Thanksgiving's passed, and it's not December yet, so he's not feeling the Christmas season. So I'll see what I can do to rally the troops. But obviously really entertaining Thanksgiving holiday. George is a Cowboys fan, so even more entertaining for him than some others. But for you fantasy folks out there, we obviously had some performances to be pretty happy about again. Over turkey and stuffing and all that good stuff. So what was your highlight of the Thanksgiving holiday, George, on the food side?
Listen, I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday. Mm-hmm. Food, family, friends, football. In my mind, you can't beat that. The food side, we have turkey.
How many people are at your Thanksgiving dinner?
Let's see. Me, my wife, my kids, my mom, father, stepfather, brother, nephew. So eight.
That's all right. It's a nice, tidy situation there. I think I had a little bit more than that, but not too much more. So I know some people do the dozens of people, and that can be kind of fun. That's usually my Christmas holiday when I get a couple of dozen people together at my cousin's house. So hopefully it was enjoyable for you, George. Sounds like it was.
That was a great time. Great. Absolute great time.
How much football do you get a chance to watch without people interrupting you or the kids jumping on your lap and all that kind of stuff? Are you locked in? Yeah, got it.
All. See?
That's great.
Most frustrating thing is first game's 12:30, right? Ended about 3:30.
Yeah.
No, my mom knows me.
Yeah.
All right, you have an hour. 3:30 to 4:30.
That's when
dinner. 3:30 to 4:30. Not that tough.
Yeah.
What time is dinner ready? 4:35.
Yeah.
Right at kickoff. It's actually
for your game too.
For my game, yeah. Like, don't worry, we tape the game. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
You can't roll back in the middle of the holiday and try to watch it from the beginning. It's just not gonna work. Yeah, for me, it's a little bit more challenging. Got two little kids and families, kind of chatting me up and people I hadn't seen in a long time. So I did my best. The Dallas game was the biggest challenge for me, too. The Steelers-Colts, luckily. I got home a little bit after it started, but I was able to roll it back and watch from the beginning, and that was good
for me. Played poker during that game. I actually recorded that game, watched it when I got home.
Yeah, there you go. So
my family's that's
an easier one
family.
To do it with. Yeah, that's good. Did you win? Come out on top?
Second.
That's all right.
When my nephew won.
How old's he?
16, 17.
Wow, teaching him young. Very nice.
Oh, my brother taught him. Much younger.
Well, good stuff. So let's get to
it's all about math. We're teaching him math, Mike.
Yeah, that's right.
Percentages.
He's going to be, he'll go to MIT, I'm sure. So we will break down these games and obviously get you ready for the rest of the Week 12 matchups. No bye weeks this week, so that's good. We obviously had three games to recap, and the first one I will start with was really the biggest fantasy highlight of the Thursday slate, which was Cowboys, first of all, 10 in a row. Congratulations to you, George, on your team being just tremendous, rolling right along. Zeke with another really solid game. And they just keep on rolling. Just keep on rolling right along. Not too much you can say about how good they've been. This team is built a very specific way. George and I were talking about it before we got on air. It's kind of easy, relatively easy, to picture how this team can remain relevant for the next few years. They got now a franchise quarterback who's on a rookie deal. They got this tremendous offensive line, a couple of whom's contracts are already locked in. They need to build up on defense, probably obtain some pass rushers, and obviously keep this train rolling, because the Dak Prescott-Zeke Elliott combo is tremendous. Zeke with 20 carries for 97 yards and two more scores. He piles up two more catches for another 23. So he's got 120 yards on the day with two scores, George.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the Cowboys' future, all they have to do is really keep that line intact and draft defense. The defense is horrible. It's certainly not good. It's good against the run. It's pathetic against the pass. They can't stop anybody. Maybe it'll get better. Barry Church is back next week. That should help somewhat. Plus, playing Minnesota will help somewhat as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they are what they are. You know, that line, you know, if they finish 13-3, let's say they get the number one seed in the conference, should that line be the MVP? I mean, really, all five is just voted those five guys MVP rather than Elliott or rather than Dak?
It's easily the most important unit on the field in the NFL by far. Yeah.
I don't think it's close. Without that line, they're not what they are.
Right.
Yeah, that line's dominating games there. But like I said, I think Jerry Jones knows this. He needs to keep that line intact and draft defense. Free agency, go for defense. Dallas is not going to have to pay a quarterback. This is how Seattle, one of the reasons why Seattle is so good, because Russell Wilson came along as a rookie, played great. That's money you save. It's 15, 18, 19, 20 million off the cap. Then you don't have to worry about paying a quarterback. You can put that money towards a certain slot. In this case, Seattle's where it was for defense. Cowboys can now do the same exact thing.
Right, so we go over to Dak Prescott, who has a really good game statistically, 17 of 24 for 195 and a score. Obviously, if you rolled him out there in fantasy, it wasn't as big a day as you would have hoped for. But, again, efficiency. He's a quarterback rating of 108 there. He only takes one sack for 5 yards. He's averaging 8 yards a pass in this game. So maybe nothing to write home about from a fantasy perspective, but you got to like what you see out of Dak. For the Cowboys receivers, relatively modest days. Dez for 5 for 72. Cole Beasley 5 for 56. Witten 3 for 33. So nothing crazy there. Dez Bryant and Josh Norman obviously get into it. Exchanging pleasantries sort of before the game, although I wonder how pleasant that was considering the outcome and the scuffle after the game. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of a boys will be boys thing. I don't think there's much to this until they play again. I don't think it's going to overshadow too much beyond that. Now, the big performance, obviously, of the day, and somebody who I ran some stats on before they played the other day because I wanted to talk about him today specifically, not knowing he would have this kind of day, is Kirk Cousins, 41 of 53 for 449. 3 touchdowns, averaging 8.5 yards per attempt. Robert Kelly, conversely, only 14 carries for 37 yards. So this is an aerial attack. Obviously, the Cowboys were susceptible to it. You know, we had a fireworks fourth quarter, 20 points for Washington, 14 points for Dallas. So a lot of these stats got racked up late. But nonetheless, Kirk Cousins on fire, George.
Yeah, and anybody who's listening to the Old School Fantasy during the week with Jake Seeley and Scott Engel and I, you know, we've been talking about Kirk. I know I've been talking about Kirk Cousins for a while now. Mm-hmm. He's not a great NFL quarterback, but fantasy wise, his receivers are very good, above average. You may not love anyone in particular. You know, DeSean Jackson is what he is—a deep threat. Pierre Garçon is a ball control guy over the middle. Jameson Crowder has come out of nowhere to be a high end wide receiver too. You know, Jordan Reed is a tight end one, a high-end tight end one at that. Jordan Reed may be out a week with, or two with that separated shoulder, although he played pretty well with it. So he has the weapons. The running game didn't perform well, but it's still a threat. So defense is still able to account for it. The offensive line's good enough to protect him. And he's hitting his passes. He's not afraid to take deep shots.
This offensive line can pass block, which is what has really helped them through this. I've said this last year. I said it again this year. The skill positions out there on Washington are really good. I mean, from an NFL standpoint, really good. Great depth. Reed is either the best tight end in football, or he's second to Gronk when Gronk is healthy, which hasn't happened too much this season. Unfortunately, Reed has the same injury bug over the course of his career. But here, so when it really took off for Kirk Cousins, and he's named the starter at the beginning of last year, but when it really took off for Kirk Cousins, because those first five games or so were pretty bumpy, was that you liked that game, which became favorite saying, you like that. And it was October 25th of 15 when they played Tampa. He came from behind for a big win, and he was 33 of 40 in that contest for 317 and 3 scores. George, since that game, and including Thursday night, he's completing over 70% of his passes. He's thrown for 6,600 yards, 44 touchdowns, and 10 picks. He's averaging over 300 yards a game, and that 44-10 touchdown to interception ratio, you can't really ask for any better than that.
No, he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think he's great. I don't think he's elite as far as NFL is concerned. Fantasy-wise, he's a starting quarterback. He's a top 10. But it also tells you how deep quarterback is in fantasy-wise. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you and I talked about this back in August and July. We're going to wait on quarterbacks. Next year, even more so.
But I'll raise my hand to say I was waiting on quarterbacks, and he wasn't the guy I was waiting for. I was waiting for Matt Stafford and Matty Ice and
Matty
a
Ice
couple
and
other guys.
Stafford, sure. But once again, how many quarterback ones are there in fantasy next year? 16?
Yeah.
Well, you could actually be okay with?
Yeah. I mean, and a guy that we didn't even talk about that much in August, and he's played great, is Marcus Mariota. So, which is like indicative of the depth that you're talking about.
This is why next year I'm going to be hard, Mike, that I think league should have super flexes, because I think you need to start two quarterbacks to make it more interesting. Else everyone and their mother should be waiting until round 8, round 9 before you start drafting a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Ryan in 12-team leagues this year wasn't drafted many times.
Not even close.
Yeah.
In fact, the
first-place team in our Joe's B Pros League, which is sort of a staff league that we have here at Roto Experts, the first-place or second-place team has Matt Ryan, and I know for a fact that he picked him up off the waiver wire after week one.
His ADP was 18th at quarterback.
Right.
I mean, it was like you didn't
Stafford
want Matt.
Stafford took had a late charge, but you and I talked all during August, and he was 15-14. So I think George makes a great point because so many of you I had tremendous depth at quarterback in that same league, and I couldn't give away Matt Stafford. People are like, just pick up – Scott Engel picked up Kirk Cousins off the waiver wire like a month ago, not even. It just these guys, like you said, are just out there, and you don't even need to – by the way, this is another highlight of why you don't need to carry two quarterbacks for the most part.
That always depends on your league.
I agree with that.
If 11 other guys are grabbing a backup quarterback, then you don't have a choice.
True.
But generally, yeah, you don't. A quarterback is just so deep. As far as I think it's one of the deepest it's ever been, as far as fantasy is concerned. I can't remember where. I don't have to worry about it. Right. This is why I was so against people taking Cam Newton in round 2, round 3. Why?
Yeah.
You didn't need to do that. It had nothing to do with the fact that I thought he bombed this year. Mm-hmm. And I have proof of that. I wrote that up for many times.
He does. And so, Golden Tate, which he continues to right on.
I didn't like those two guys. But overall, in general, you just didn't need to take quarterback early. You know, I didn't think it was going to be 16, 18 quarterbacks deep, but I thought it was going to be at least 10, 12 deep. Well, I'll wait and grab whoever comes up. I didn't see Dak Prescott being this. Of course not. Didn't see Mariota taking the next step like he's done. You know, and several other – Jameis Winston's become a legitimate, low-end quarterback one in fantasy.
That's right.
You know, it doesn't matter what they look like NFL-wise. Even Blake Bortles has looked terrible NFL-wise, but fantasy-wise, he's been fine.
Yeah, he's finished in the top 12 plenty of times, plenty of weeks. So one last thing on Cousins, you and I talked about. He's a free agent at the end of this year. He's getting paid.
Yes, he is.
I think other teams could come in to try to bid that up on Washington. And it is what it is. They're going to have to pay. You can't just let the guy walk now, even with some hesitation as to how good he is compared to some of the other elite quarterbacks.
What's the worst case scenario for Washington? Franchise tag again.
Yeah.
That's the worst case scenario for them.
Yeah, it's a huge number, though.
But that's the worst case scenario. But he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's in Washington. They'll work out a deal now.
Yeah, I agree with you. Additionally, we'll touch on the other games. We'll touch on Lions, Minnesota after the break, but we'll do the Steelers real quick because there wasn't too much on the Colts side to be thrilled with. Obviously, with the Luck injury, it put the Colts in a tough spot. You know, they do go for it twice down near the goal line. I kind of appreciate the fact that they were trying to be aggressive because I think they knew that they were going to have some issues stopping Pittsburgh, which they did. They kept them off the field for most of the third quarter, which worked to their advantage, but then they came up empty twice in goal line scenarios. Did you have a problem with them going for the touchdowns there as opposed to kicking field goals and trying to keep it closer?
But see, I think that's the wrong topic that we're talking about here. Everyone's going to blame Tolzien for, oh, you have luck. They dropped 2 touchdown passes.
That's true.
A third, Moncrief dropped one that was inside the 10-yard line. Now, I think they scored on one of those anyway, so they're not all. But Ty Hilton dropped what would have been an easy, was it, 66-yard touchdown?
That's right.
He was gone, dropped it.
Yep.
Dorsett dropped the ball in the end zone from the 5-yard line. That should have been an easy catch.
Yep.
The receivers did not help Tolzien at all.
I thought Tolzien played well.
I think he was, for a first start, absolutely, he's fine.
I thought he played well. I can't criticize him at all. The picks, whatever. I mean, one was late. He drove them down the field a couple of times, and as you said, it wasn't his fault that they didn't score. I mean, you get first and goals, you need to get in there, and you can't blame the QB every time. He wasn't turning the ball over left and right. He had one bad floater pass down the middle of the field, and that's late. Exactly right.
Exactly right. The receiver's got to catch the ball. Those touchdowns I'm talking about were not
difficult passes. They had a 9-minute drive. They came up with 0 points in the third quarter. It was the perfect plan, frankly, the perfect adjustments that they made coming out of halftime when the Steelers just kind of rolled down the field in the first half for 21 points. Then they could barely get the ball back in the third quarter. So
I think the Steelers really are playing down to their competition. They thought they were going to win the game, so blah, blah, blah.
I mean, Antonio was kind of uncoverable the other day. So, and Vontae Davis is the best defender on that team, and he mysteriously goes out of the, in the middle of the game with an injury after he gave up a couple of touchdowns.
He was lucky to play.
Yeah,
I was surprised he played. Plus, Sindeo was out as well.
So, Tolzien again. Admirable performance. Ultimately, it looks kind of ugly on the stat sheet, but as George pointed out, they did drop a couple of touchdown passes.
Catch the ball.
From a rushing standpoint, nothing there at all. Frank Gore struggled a lot, 15 for 28.
That was surprising.
Yeah. T.Y. Hilton, as George said, he dropped a touchdown pass. He also took a vicious shot down the middle of the field. Three catches for 54 yards. He hung on to that pass, a 32-yard strike. But
and by the way,
he got
if he would have caught the touchdown pass, he doesn't get hit like that, same drive.
This is true. Le'Veon Bell, obviously a big day, 23 for 120 on the ground with a score. He additionally catches four passes for 22 yards. So in your PPR leagues, he racked up big numbers for you, over 140 total with four catches and a touchdown. So that's a big day right there. So beyond that, Ben Roethlisberger, 14 of 20 for three scores, very efficient. Obviously, as I mentioned, Colts did a good job keeping the ball away from them in the second half, but Antonio Brown really was the star of the show. Even though it was only five catches for 91 yards, he has those three scores. He only targeted him six times. They didn't really have to throw the ball that much. The Steelers were playing with a lead and playing in front for a majority of it. Did a pretty good job, you know, getting to the finish line there. A couple of picks by Mike Mitchell with a big play there, and ultimately the Steelers walk away with a relatively easy win, but that 28-7 score doesn't belie how close it could have been. As George said, they did drop some touchdown passes. We'll talk Vikes-Lions after the break, and we'll talk about a poll that we have coming up. Some tasty matchups this week for some QBs, some lopsided matchups that we'll talk about, and a little bit about George's article regarding the defenses you want to target this week on rotoexperts.com. So it's Mike and George, Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm Mike Blewett along with George Kurtz, taking you all the way till 10 o'clock. Going to go over all the games for the week, break down any relevant injuries that are ongoing, and we'll review Vikings-Lions here in a second. But first, if you just want to win your fantasy league and not worry about stacks, GPPs, or contrarian plays, then Old School Fantasy is the show for you. Fantasy Sports Writer Association Hall of Famer Scott Engel and award-nominated writers George Kurtz right here and Jake Seeley give you all you need to know to coolly run roughshod through your season-long leagues. And well, obviously, we hope Jake is feeling better during this holiday season. The fun begins at 1 p.m. Eastern every weekday, Old School Fantasy, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, on demand at fntsy.com/radio or available for download on iTunes. So going back to Vikings-Lions quickly, not a huge fantasy day really there.
That was an awful game.
Yeah, it was kind of – I'm with you. I didn't think it was entertaining at all. The fact that it was close made it somewhat interesting, if only because Sam Bradford made a horrendous throw at the end of the game where, honestly, they could have taken a knee and just gone. I don't mind them trying to push the ball down the field and looking for a first down and looking for field position, but obviously, in hindsight, maybe we just take the knee there. The stats look okay for Bradford in that he was accurate, 31 of 37 for 224. But honestly, he's only pushing the ball 6 yards down the field. He throws the killer interception and no touchdowns there. Matt Asiata gets the lone touchdown for the Vikings. A lot of field goals, obviously, in that game. Matt Prater hits the game winner at the end. Darius Slay with the big pick. Matt Stafford, 23 of 40 for 232 and a score. Nothing to write home about from the backs. Theo Riddick gets you 45 yards. He gets you another 13 in the passing game, but in a full point PPR, you tack on five more catches for Theo Riddick. Now, the one big wide receiver performance on the day, if you want to call it that, is Anquan Boldin, 7 of 69 for a touchdown. Golden Tate, really not a bad game. I know we kind of threw shade on him in the first segment, but 5 for 77, you can live with that. especially in a full-point PPR league. It's one league where I have him. I benched him in another league for Cole Beasley, which was really negligible difference, a point and a half or so. But 5 for 77 for Golden Tate. He's a guy that you didn't like this year, but you could live with 5 for 77, George.
Sure, it's 12 points, yeah. PPR. I mean, you want double digits of PPR. That's really what you're looking for.
So what's up with Marvin Jones?
That's a pretty good question.
Can't figure this out.
He was certainly playing above his head the first 4 or 6 games of the season, so those numbers were always going to come down, but they've come down like a load of bricks. I mean, boom, done. He's not startable right now, and you really can't start him right now. You're going to have to put him on your bench. I don't think you want to drop him. You probably want to hold on to him. Teams figured him out. Have they figured out the offense? Is it because Golden Tate's playing better? So the targets aren't coming his way anymore? But all those numbers, and I think we talked about this for the past 2 weeks, are all trending in the wrong direction. You know, when I say trending, they're all going in the wrong direction. Now, this is more than a small sample size as far as football is concerned. So, yeah, Marvin Jones is really not startable right now. He should be on your bench.
Yeah, I mean, on the season, we're looking at Marvin Jones, 38 catches for 676 and 4 touchdowns. Golden Tate, conversely, 52 catches for 540 and only 2 touchdowns. Theo Riddick kind of comes in the middle there from a production standpoint, 43 catches for 4 touchdowns. Yardage really kind of inconsequential, back to a receiver. But the Marvin Jones situation, as you noted, George, he had a 4 for 94 against Washington in week 7. And outside of that, has not cleared 75 yards receiving, nor has he had more than 5 catches in any single game. A ton in standard leagues, a ton of single digit performances from week 4.
Sure about that?
From week 4 through now, he's got only single digit performances in fantasy if you're in a standard league. So, kind of a tough road to hoe with him, and even the ones in half point PPR, I'm looking at 2 11 point performances since week 3. Not really where you want to be. I guess, you know, frankly, I would have thought Golden Tate would have bigger production than him, but I also thought that they'd be throwing a ton more and there'd be more catches to go around for everybody. So it wouldn't have stunned me after those first few weeks if they were both going to trend towards 100 catches, and I don't think either of them are going to get all that close. Anquan Boldin, I guess, is part of this too, right? He's got 41 catches for 323 and 5 scores. He's got the most receiving touchdowns, and he's right behind. He's got more catches than Marvin Jones. So while we thought he would be a nice late-round flyer in a lot of leagues, I can't say I would have expected him to outpace Marvin Jones. So we do have a poll up right now, which you folks can check out on Twitter. Follow us at FNTSY Radio. And it's, which fantasy duo do you like best this Sunday? Again, go to on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. So of the duos, Manning and Beckham going up against the Browns. Brady and Edelman, no Gronk there, going up against the Jets, who've been very susceptible in the past. Wilson and Baldwin, Doug Baldwin, going up against Tampa. And Drew Brees and Brandon Cooks going up against L.A. So, George, of those four, who's the one you like the most?
I like them all. I mean, I guess we'll take out Edelman because he's not really a touchdown guy. He's more of a PPR guy. I think Manny can pretty much hit Beckham whenever he wants. Joe Hayden's a good cornerback, but I don't think he's a lockdown, shutdown guy. I also don't know if he'll follow Beckham all over the field. I doubt it. So I'm going to like that a lot. It's in the dome. Whenever it's in the dome, Drew Brees is a different player. Yeah, and so is Cooks. But as you pointed out earlier, we could have put Thomas in this guy instead of Cooks.
Yeah, I think that's going to steal votes away from here because people like Michael Thomas more than Brandon Cooks. So we just had to kind of make a choice there. If you put Brees and Thomas in there, I wonder if the results would be different.
And Russell Wilson, Baldwin, different kind of offense there. They may not go that direction. They sometimes do, sometimes don't. I think they can run on Tampa Bay, too. I'm going to go with Eli Beckham.
I like that. I think it's between Eli and Beckham for me, or Wilson and Baldwin. I'm shading Wilson and Baldwin in that one. I just think that the Giants could get up on the Browns enough without feeling threatened on the defensive side of the ball that they can kind of run out the clock. Not to say Tampa, you know, on occasion, Mike Evans is in for it this week, but on occasion they can, you know, throw their way back into it and at least keep it somewhat close. I don't see the Browns keeping it close with the Giants at all this week.
No,
so
no Earl Thomas this week.
Very true.
It's in Tampa Bay.
Unfortunately, as I know all too well, I have Earl Thomas in. Are you in the playoffs in that Dynasty League, by the way?
Which Dynasty League?
Our IDP Dynasty League. By the way, you have Gary Davenport.
Playoff start already?
No, it starts like next week, but you might be locked in because you just got off to like an 8-0 start.
I don't check these things.
Really? Just one? It's the last week of the regular season.
It means nothing either. I'm in the playoffs or I'm not.
I'm panicked.
It's not going to change anything I'm going to do. Jeez. I don't get panicked about fantasy leagues. People ask, I don't know who I'm playing anyway. You want to know how I know I'm playing? Because you tell me.
Right.
You tell me league and the other league. Oh, you play. Okay, great.
I don't check. I mean, it's all right for me to be aware of who I'm playing and the standings.
I'm not that player. I'm not, during the game Sunday, Mike, I'm not checking my fantasy teams.
Good for you.
There's nothing for me. I can't change anything.
I know you can't.
I want to enjoy the game. I'm not going to, oh, my God, I need this guy to get four. No.
Yeah, like on Thursday, like I just put my phone down. It didn't matter and all that kind of stuff. But on a Sunday, you know, I'm checking some DFS stuff. I'm checking.
I got all the games going.
Kind of managing. I can't manage anything, but I'm managing my own expectations.
Only thing I check is that 2:30 for the late inactives.
Yeah, I did too.
If someone gets inactive, maybe I can make a move. That's different.
Nice segue, George, because we're going to talk about injuries right now.
I'm right there for you, Mike.
So we obviously, we have some to go over. We'll do it in depth after the break, but a few key ones. Obviously, A.J. Green, everybody knows about that. A.J. Green is out. I would say long-term. It went from definitely season-ending to now long-term. I think you could put A.J. Green on ice for a few weeks, wouldn't you say?
What would be the point of Cincinnati bringing him back?
I agree with you.
They're, what, 3-7? 3-6-1?
3-6-1.
Are there anybody really think they're going to win the next three games without him?
No way.
So that's highly unlikely. He'll probably be at 8 losses. Why are you bringing him back?
I agree with you.
I mean, he won't be at full strength. He won't be. You want to risk him tearing it completely and then now all the offseason's affected?
But for fantasy owners, you just got to keep him on the bench for now, right? You're not going to release
him. It depends. I think if you need that roster spot, you move on. Even if he comes back, he's not going to be A.J. Green.
I'm with you.
So
I thought about cutting him. I'm just going to hang on to him for a week or so.
I have no
problem. If there's anything different that comes
spot,
out.
But mainly Green can go. Alshon Jeffrey, why is anybody holding on to him?
Yeah. I'm out on
that. Nobody wants to release him. I get a whole bunch of questions about him.
What was he before?
Right. He was doing nothing this season when healthy. Jay Cutler may be out for the year as well. You really think Matt Barkley's going to make him better? Come on. Move on. Fine. If you need the spot. If you don't need the spot, fine. Maybe you have an 8-man bench and you can hold on to and hope. Okay, fine. Go for it.
Right.
But if you need that spot, you have a zero, bought with the buys next week or a player's underperforming or a good player on the waiver wire, grab that player. If you don't need that player, you grab to keep him from somebody else. That's I move on.
Yeah. One team I'll talk about before we hit a break is the Bills. It's a mess. You got Robert Woods is out. You got LeSean McCoy, who has been questionable all week. Mike Gillisley, his backup, is out.
Nothing to do with McCoy tomorrow.
And Sammy Watkins has piqued people's interest.
Don't want anything to do with Watkins either.
Me neither. So the issue really, though, is let's just say you're in a deeper league. You have McCoy. Are you going to go to the waiver wire to pick up any kind of McCoy backups now that Gillisley isn't an option?
Well, you're saying a deep league.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here?
Is it Jonathan Williams?
Ugh. I mean, I'm thinking more normal leagues where most of us play in 10, 12-team leagues.
Yeah.
I don't want it. McCoy, I think you're...
So you're not going to start McCoy?
I think you're setting yourself up for heartbreak.
I tend to
agree
with
you. He had surgery Sunday night on the thumb. All right, okay, he carried a ball on the other hand. Fine. Stiff arm's not happening. What about when he falls on the ground? That's got to hurt.
What
about ball control issue?
Their approach to McCoy in general,
strange.
It just totally baffles me. They specifically a few weeks ago said, we don't want to start him with this hamstring issue like we did last year and have it linger. They then start him, and he has an issue with the hamstring. He has to come out of the game, and it's become a little bit of a long-term issue. Now this thumb issue. I know they're fighting for his playoff spot, and I know Rex probably feels like he's fighting for his job, but if you're the GM, you got to step in and be like, whoa. Like, this is a little bit more of a long-term situation here. We can't just start him in week 12 because we feel like we have to. I think you don't you're not taking the L by not starting him. I think you just need to reconfigure who's in there and get the job done. I just don't want to have my star player hurt, literally hurt, for the rest of the year. So I find it all odd. The Bills, if you own any of these Bills, you're in a bad spot. I own McCoy in a dynasty league where there's literally nobody else on the waiver wire to start, and I'm going to have to throw him out there. Luckily, we start enough players that hopefully he's not a huge impact on the scoring output. But huge red flags over LeSean McCoy and definitely over Sammy Watkins for those of you trying to get cute for tomorrow. So we'll continue to break down injuries and get into the games for the week after the break. Again, it's Mike and George on Roto Experts all the way till 10 o'clock. Slow Jams, Slow Jams segment of the Saturday Roto Experts edition. You can go to rotoexperts.com and purchase the in-season exclusive Edge package, George, where you find your content targeting defenses. You do a Monday recap of all the action that happened on Sunday. So please go there, enter code FREERADIO for a discount, and you get all kinds of lineup decisions, rankings. Jake Seeley does a lot there with rankings. You're going to have George talking about which defenses to target, which we'll get to in a minute, and all the advice that you can possibly muster. Also, you can email Scott for advice. George does a chat every Thursday night there. We do chats three times a week, right? So it was a Tuesday night, Thursday night, and
I think we do them Tuesday night is Scott. I do Thursday night. Jake, I think, does Monday. I just saw today. Corey's doing one today, I think, at noon.
There you go. So chats abound on rotoexperts.com. So please go there and check out the in-season exclusive Edge package. Tons of great information there. Let's wrap up with injuries because there are a few more I want to go over. First of all, you mentioned the Jordan Reed injury in the game the other night. It's a grade 3 AC joint separation in his left shoulder, which is pretty significant. They do have 10 days before they have to play again, or rather 11 days. I think they have the Monday night game, possibly? Or is that the Colts? In any event, Washington's got 10 days at least for him to heal up. But you're going to need to look. You're going to need to be mindful of that because you're going to need to look for a backup option. It's conceivable that Reed wouldn't be able to play his next game, correct?
It is. People will say, oh, we played through it. Well, we have the adrenaline's flowing there. Everything's
totally
good.
Different, right?
Be completely different 10 days, 11 days from now.
I guarantee Jordan Reed's in a world of hurt right now with his shoulder.
Once again, though, we're going to see a situation. They're fighting for a playoff spot. Yeah. They may push him. But here's the other question. What if he can't lift his arms above his head? That's going to be the problem here. You can run like this when his arms down, but it's going to be lifting up, trying to catch those passes. That's where the pain's going to be.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be very interesting to see if he can play this game. Fantasy-wise, it may come down to who else do you have on your roster.
Yeah.
Even if Reed plays here, it's going to be a situation to watch. Grade 3 is most severe. So it's a pretty good – it's not grade 1 where it just popped in and popped out. So I'll be worried, sure.
Yeah, so something to be mindful of as you approach the waiver wires next week. There's usually a few good tight ends from a streaming perspective that you can hang on to. Obviously, we have some guys that are down for the count for the season, Zach Miller, et cetera. I know Julius Thomas is out this week, for example. So you have to keep in mind that the depth at the tight end position,
Washington's at Arizona.
There you go. So
Sunday.
Got it. So it's
not
10
a great
days.
Matchup there.
No. No, I think they are the stingiest against tight ends so far this season. So something to be mindful of. Like George said, they're fighting for a playoff spot, so they're going to try and have him in there, but it may not be a great matchup. Patriots were dealing with Martellus Bennett, who's limited in practice on Friday. Rob Gronkowski, also limited, but there are a ton of reports saying Gronk is going to be out. So what are your thoughts there? You're assuming Gronk out and Bennett in?
Yes. I'm assuming Gronk is going to be out. I think the playoff game, Gronk will be in there. Gronk says personally he feels fine. I think it's different what he feels than what the doctor says you feel. So he still says questionable, not doubtful. So that tells you something too. But once again, this could be gamesmanship. Let the Jets think he might play.
Yeah.
The problem
I think your concern there is that he's out there for, even if he gets out there, it's a limited snap.
Like what happened week 3 or week 4 when he pulled that little thing? That was always fun for us. The problem is Martellus Bennett, we thought last week was going to be good for him. Didn't work out that way. You know, as he pulled up, one catch, 14 yards. So, but once when
he buried me in DFS.
He's a start. What are you going to do? If Gronk is out, Martellus Bennett's a tight end one. So no one's going to blame you for starting him. Could you speak an argument that someone else is better than him? Sure. Who else are you talking about here? You know, Rudolph already played, but someone like Cameron Brate, I'm probably still going Bennett. You know, Antonio Gates, okay. Now we can talk here. Then maybe I can go Gates over Bennett. But odds are I'll go Bennett. I'll take my chance with Tom Brady.
Got it. So as we go down through, we talked about the Bills. It's really a big issue there. Dolphins talking about their offensive line because obviously Jay Ajayi is a huge focus this week in fantasy because he's got such a cake matchup against the Niners. But Laremy Tunsil's a game-time decision at offensive line. Mike Pouncey's not going to play due to a hip injury. Brandon Albert is still doubtful. He's got a huge cast on his wrist. I expect that's an absolute sit. So you can conceivably – keep in mind, George, we love Jay Ajayi this week based on the matchup. You have three starting offensive linemen that are down potentially. Does that change your opinion of him at all?
It's two. Tunsil should play with the brace.
Got it.
So he should be back. But either way, he's going to be playing out of position a little bit because he's going to go to left tackle instead of Albert. The Miami Dolphins offense clicked when that offensive line became whole.
That's right.
You know, Pouncey's out. Albert's out. It means a new center. You know, Tunsil goes from right to left tackle. I mean, you got a couple of guys playing at different positions. But it's against San Fran. What were they, the worst run defense in the league?
26.5. In standard leagues, 26.5 points a game to opposing fantasy running backs.
Yeah, I'm still starting Ajayi. I think I'll take my chances there. But maybe, you know, maybe you don't get the 200-yard game. Sorry.
Giving up nearly 1,600 yards and 13 touchdowns.
You do the math there. That's a touchdown a game and well over 100 yards a game.
That's easy money.
I can't pass on Ajayi.
I actually have a really interesting it's a good team of mine, but it's sort of – I got lucky with waiver wire pickups in a sense. DeMarco Murray is the starter there. But my backups, because you only start one, you can put one in a flex, are Rawls and Ajayi. Who would you sit? Murray, Rawls, and Ajayi. Yes. I have Ajayi on the bench, and I can't believe it.
You might sit Murray there. Chicago actually has a decent run defense there. I'm probably sitting Rawls there. He's the one who's banged up coming into the game. You know, listen, they're all running back ones.
Yeah.
So we're just picking death here of who we don't want to start, and I want to start them all. I guess if I have to, if you're going matchup-wise, it'd be Murray because he does have the worst matchup. Chicago has a decent run defense, but the problem is I don't think the Bears are going to have the ball on offense at all.
I actually love Rawls this week.
I like Rawls. I like them all. But yeah. I think I'd end up sitting Rawls. I can't sit Murray. I know the matchup
That's sort of where I came to. So I think it's close on Rawls and Ajayi. This offensive line situation, maybe it gives me a little bit of pause there. Beyond that, as we continue to go through the injuries – defensive injuries abound, offensive line injuries. As far as other marquee players, I mean, Ryan Matthews from Philly didn't practice on Friday. We know all about, at this point, I'm sure you folks know all about the mess that is the Eagles running back situation. It was Ryan Matthews 2 weeks ago. It was Wendell Smallwood last week. It's good luck trying to figure that out. George mentioned earlier, Earl Thomas is out. Todd Gurley did not practice on Friday yesterday because he was sick. Apparently, an illness has gone through that entire roster. It's good news going up against the Saints in New Orleans. Half the roster is sick, and their best player didn't practice yesterday. So that's where we're at. The last thing on the Saints, by the way, Mark Ingram was limited with the concussion. What's your Mark Ingram, Tim Hightower call for this week?
Nightmare. All right, that's it. That's nightmare. What are you going to do? I mean, let's say Ingram plays. Doesn't mean Peyton's going to use him full-time.
I know.
He may not need to use him full-time. Could give Hightower more. He's been doing it with Hightower anyway.
You know, I think I'm starting them both.
If you had both, with 20 Wilson on your roster. If you could only start one, I think I'm going Hightower.
Oh, man. It was so clearly Ingram last week until he got hurt, right? Like, because we tried to parse that before the Thursday game, and then Ingram goes down, obviously, which is a blatant concussion. He tried to get back on the field before he realized he was knocked out cold. And then Hightower picks up all the points late. You know, if you started Ingram last week over Hightower, you made the right decision. It just didn't work out. So,
again, you know what's good? No matter who you start this week, you're wrong.
That's right. That's right. So my dynasty league is, that's it, in a nutshell. I have Gillisley, Ingram, Hightower. Those are the three guys that are even worth playing at the running back position. And I'm going to end up starting one. It's going to be near zero. I'm sure Ingram will go in for two plays and be out of the game. So that's it. I spent a lot of time on injuries. We will get to some football and some game breakdowns. George wants to target the Packers and the Falcons' pass defenses this week. Give me a minute on why you like Atlanta so much.
Who does like Atlanta so much?
I mean, sorry, Arizona so much.
I don't like them at all. It's hard to like Arizona. Carson Palmer is just awful. I mean, he'll throw some touchdowns, but he's going to throw some picks too. Maybe they're pick seven, pick sixes. Well, can't even say they're pick sevens nowadays. Nobody can take an extra point anymore. So he's hard. Carson Palmer, it's going to be very interesting this offseason to figure out what Arizona's going to do. You know, are they going to move on from Aaron Palmer? Because this is an old team. Their window's closing. They need to win now. And if he's not the quarterback that's going to bring them that, his play has declined. Why? You know, it declined at the end of last season in the playoffs. It was awful in the preseason, and it was awful in the regular season. So what's going on with Carson Palmer here? Can't start him. Larry Fitzgerald to start. David Johnson, of course, as a start. And it's a left defense. They should be able to put up some points up here. Do you want to start J.J. Nelson? You know, I know Scott asked me yesterday, because I think he said Tony Sincotta and someone else on the morning show, I guess maybe Sussman, were big on J.J. Nelson. I'm not. The matchup, sure, it's interesting. But, I mean, come on. J.J. Nelson's done nothing the past 2 weeks since being named the starter. Nothing. He's looked bad. I'm not going to start a guy because of the matchup says he is, but he's looked terrible since being named starter.
Outside of Larry Fitzgerald, it's impossible to be confident in any of the pass catchers in that offense. You can say that you like the matchup this particular week, but a couple of weeks ago we liked the J.J. Nelson matchup and didn't do anything,
right,
to your point.
He actually was terrible. He was helping out the other team more than the Cardinals.
That's right. So, no.
If Floyd was healthy, I might like him.
Yeah, and another guy. Very disappointing this year, obviously, him and John Brown. It's all tied back to Carson Palmer and his inconsistent play. The fact that they lost that last game was just kind of a head-scratcher to me. Gave the Vikings that game, I thought. I thought they had a real chance to win that game.
Kick return, the awful play by Palmer, they definitely gave that game away.
Yep, so that's it. There's your Carson Palmer update of the week. George really still in love with that guy. So we'll talk more defenses to target after the break. We'll get into some games. Mike Blute and George Kurtz all the way till 10. We have Gary Davenport in 15 minutes from IDP Sharks on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. George and I will be here until 10 o'clock when Joe Lisi and Rich Germanello take over on College Game Day. Yesterday was a washout. Blowouts galore in college football, but today's a big day. Starting at noon, you have the game, Ohio State, Michigan. And I think the winner of that will get into the playoff. Obviously, somebody's going to have to take care of business potentially in a Big Ten championship game if it's Michigan. Ohio State, if they win the game, will not be in the Big Ten championship game, assuming Penn State holds serve. So we'll see how that plays out. But big game there, Bama, Auburn, and obviously the one that everybody's waiting for at 3 o'clock, BC at Wake Forest. So we'll see how that turns out. They played last year in Chestnut Hill, 3-0 final. I just want to make sure everybody knows that. So the under looking strong today. BC's offense not much better than it was a year ago. So, George, Cards, Falcons to finish up there. Julio, last time he played Patrick Peterson, tore him apart. Peterson called it himself one of the worst games he's ever had. So don't feel hesitant about Julio's potential today. But what I really want to talk about is the running backs there. You have Tevin Coleman back in the mix. Starting one, starting both, how do you feel about this?
Well, I'm starting Freeman. Not really worried about starting him. Arizona's a tough defense, so I guess I'm worried about that. But I'm not worried about him losing all that many touches to Coleman. I think it should help the offense some. That keeps Freeman a little fresher, gives the defense another look to, that they have to worry about. Coleman starting. He's a low-end running back two flex for me. So it depends on what you have there.
I have to play him in Joe's B Pros League. I just got nothing else.
Right, that's not the easy decision to make there if you have nothing else. And most people probably don't have much else. I know
Derrick Henry.
Just about any league I had him in, he would be an automatic start for me. I wouldn't have a choice.
By the way, thanks for the ProSize advice, but no. That was a two-week rental, and I'm done.
Hey, well, listen, you didn't ask how long it was going to last.
It worked. It worked. I won both games.
He just asked one to take him. Yeah, that was really harsh for fantasy owners, put it nicely. Guy comes in, plays great, and he's gone.
Yeah.
A little flash. Hope you enjoyed. I'm probably starting Coleman, bottom line. I like him more in PPR than I do standard, but I'm probably starting because of the state of running backs. But I'm not expecting big things.
Got it. So David Johnson, obviously, throw him out there. Could be one of the top running backs on the board this week. Panthers at the Raiders. So that's a big game for the Raiders, obviously. The Panthers, listen, they've obviously struggled this year. It's not at all what they anticipated. You got Luke Kuechly, who's likely to be out of this matchup, dealing with a concussion. But the irony of it is that they're 4-6. Atlanta's got a matchup today, which they can conceivably lose. I mean, the Cardinals are really struggling, but they're 4-5-1. Atlanta's 6-4. We're not worlds apart there. So the Panthers, ironically, are still in the mix here. And fighting for a playoff spot against, albeit a tough Raiders team. But from a fantasy standpoint, Cam Newton looks like a pretty good matchup today. The Raiders defense, while it's playing slightly better, hasn't been exactly the defense you want to write home about. So your thoughts today about Cam and maybe the rest of the running game in Carolina?
Cam is interesting because he's not playing well. I mean, we thought he was a lock start against New Orleans on Thursday night.
That's right.
Didn't work out so well.
Nope.
And Raiders, once again, matchup says, lock start. Raiders don't start to do well against the pass. But now in this day and age, you could have quarterbacks where you may want to start them over Cam. Granted, some of those quarterbacks already played on Thursday, so your decision's already made. I mean, Cousins or Cam, I would have started Cousins. Cousins or Dak would have been really close if you had that decision to make. You know, and I could see it, you know. I guess, though, you know, it's, what, Cam or Winston? Probably going Cam there. Could be Cam Ryan, easily, because you could have Ryan as backup. Probably going Cam there. You know, so odds are I'm starting Cam here. But I'm at the point now where I don't feel great about it. You know, I just don't feel great. Nobody's stepping it up there. You know, Devin Funchess has been a huge disappointment for me. I thought he was going to have a breakout season would be probably tipping it too high, but a good representative season. He's not doing it. He's not getting the job done. The running game is what it is. It's average at best. Kelvin Benjamin had the good first game back against Denver, week one, and then really done very little since. He's been okay, not terrible, but not what we expect from a wide receiver one here. What it comes down to, listen, I'm probably starting Cam tomorrow, starting Olsen. Stewart, you probably have to go with because they're running backs. Benjamin, it comes down to what I have. You mentioned it, no buys this week, so you may be able to do better than Benjamin, but the matchup says you start him this week.
Yeah.
Which means I'm going
to
go with that.
To George's point about the quarterbacks, on Fantasy Pros, an aggregate ranking site, fantasypros.com, Cam's ranked sixth
but that's
in an aggregate ranking. But
take out the guys
Mariota, Prescott, Carr, Cousins, all right behind him. And you have Ben in front of him. So, you know, Eli behind him. Eli's going against the Browns. Are you going to say that you have supreme confidence of Cam against the Raiders versus Eli against Cleveland? No way. You can't say that with any regularity. Eli could have one of the biggest days of anybody out there. I don't expect it because there'll be enough of a lead where they don't have to push it. But, you know, Eli could have a massive first half against Cleveland. So, good points there on Cam. On the flip side, you know, Mike Crabtree is somebody that I have in a league, and I put him out there every week. I don't even think about not starting him. It's just due to the depth in that league. But disappointing performance last time out. Your thoughts maybe about Crabtree, because obviously Amari Cooper we don't have to worry about.
Catch the ball.
Yeah.
How many passes did he drop in that game?
Including
a touchdown.
You know, I know. But I know. It killed me. But I think Cooper actually has more drops on the year than Crabtree. I think I read that somewhere, which is
well, crazy. It's just that he had he hit a stone that game. Took a pill in, maybe his hands got
chopped a first down, clear first down.
He dropped
down
at
one
least
play.
Three passes I can remember right now, including one in the end zone. These all should have been caught.
Yep.
All right, so, I mean, target-wise, he's fine. You know, if he catches those balls, he has a big game. Easy double-digit points there. So it was really on him that he didn't have the good game there. So I won't make me shy away from him. We know Carolina can be thrown on. So I'm starting them. Yeah. I'm starting all my normal Raiders.
I mean, Carolina can be thrown on, to your point. They're in the bottom eight in fantasy football, fantasy points against opposing QBs. So you're in a good position there. Plus, no Keekly, no Mario Addison on the defensive line. Both of those guys I own in an IDP league. That's how I'm sort of focused on that. But they are missing starters in addition to the fact that the defensive backs haven't played well all year. So there you go for Panthers, Raiders. We did Cards, Falcons. Real quick, we'll go to Titans, Bears, because you talked a little bit about the shakeup with the Bears and how, you know, so many injuries there have started to pile up. Mariota ends up being a great value play in DFS, and Mariota, frankly, in season-long leagues, is now a guy you can put out there every week.
With this, with the Titans, Bears goes on to one thing. How are the Bears going to have the ball on offense? You're down to your third-string quarterback. One or two wide receivers are gone. Kevin White and Jeffrey gone. Top tight end gone. How are they going to control the ball on offense? How does this team hold the ball from over 20 minutes?
The upshot for the Bears offense is if you're a Jordan Howard owner, you know he's going to get the ball over 20 times.
And Tennessee's a good run defense.
Right.
And that's before this. Before they know you have to run the ball.
That's right.
They're going to play 18 guys in the box. I mean, no. I can't see how the Bears can do anything on offense.
Passing
here.
Offense is Cam Meredith. Eddie Royal's still hurt. So he's been hurt for 3 years.
It's a mess. You know, too many injuries here. I just don't see it here. I want to start all my Titans.
Worst offense in the league right now, the Bears?
With all the injuries?
Yeah.
Has to be. Man, it just has to be. Who's worse?
I can't see one that's worse.
Jets pretty close, I guess. Cleveland's not worse. Cleveland has a decent offense. San Fran.
Cleveland's not worse. That's the thing. That's one thing you say about the Browns. Like, all right, they can move it a little
Minnesota?
Bit.
Minnesota?
They're always forced to throw it, so you're going to put up some yards, but
Minnesota's pretty good.
With
ugly.
All these injuries, I can't look at a snapshot of a team and say that they have a worse offense than the Bears. With all these injuries. It's
third string quarterback.
This is as bad as I got. This
third
is like,
wide receiver, second tight end. I mean, come on.
This is like the Ravens at the end of the year last year when everybody was just
crushed.
Like last 6 weeks for the Ravens last year. So that's what you're looking at with the Bears. Kind of why I like DeMarco Murray in that matchup we were talking about earlier. You think they're just getting the ball enough? I wonder if Derrick Henry actually does get his carries today.
My worry about
tomorrow.
Murray is this though: he's got the toe problem. They could take it easy on him.
Do you want me to start Derrick Henry over Tevin Coleman?
I think Derrick Henry is more in play this week in deeper leagues, where you could go with him because I think they're going to take it. I think they know they're going to win this game. They're not all that worried about that. Where I think Murray gets his carries, but maybe he doesn't get 18, 20 carries. Maybe it's 12, 14 carries. Take it a little easier. If they get a big, like we saw in that the Thursday night game about a month ago, also if Murray hits the sideline, he let Derrick Henry get some work here. I can see that happening.
5.5-point spread. Tennessee covers that easy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would take that, which means Bears will play a great game. You'll only win by three.
Exactly. So, that's it. Hour one down. We got Gary Davenport from Fantasy Sharks coming up after the break. We'll talk about defense, individual defensive players, what he ate for Thanksgiving, and find out what percentage of his body is actually painted scarlet and silver today. Scarlet and gray. He's a big Buckeyes fan, folks. That's why I made that reference. We'll talk about it after the break. Mike and George on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Roto Experts in the Morning, the Saturday edition. I'm Mike Blewett along with George Kurtz. I know you're resting easy after your Thanksgiving holiday, and football is abound today on the college side. And an hour from now, Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello are going to take you through all those matchups in college game day, the biggest one of which is going to be Ohio State at Michigan. And that starts at noon. We got Gary Davenport from Fantasy Sharks with us. You can catch him on Twitter at IDP Sharks. And Gary is an Ohio native and a huge Buckeyes fan. So, Gary, I asked before the break, what percentage of your body is painted scarlet and gray today?
We're going to go with 0%.
Not a body painting. Paint guy or a face painter?
No, I tweaked my back yesterday hanging Christmas lights, so I don't think I could reach around there to get much of anything painted.
I'm sure you will be focused on that game today, but certainly Thanksgiving brought us a lot of big performances, and we look towards tomorrow where we're going to find out exactly which defenses can stack up. We talked a little bit before the break about how the Panthers, in the middle of what is a disappointing season, are actually not out of the mix for a playoff spot because they're right there in the division, only a couple of games off. Just takes a couple of wins to rectify that, especially one against the Falcons. But they have a big matchup against the Raiders with Keekly and Addison down. I mean, first give me some thoughts on how the Panthers rectify their injury situation.
Oh, it's going to be interesting to see how they choose to attack the middle linebacker spot. I know that A.J. Klein is also nicked up, so I don't know if he's going to be able to go for them. I think from an IDP standpoint, if there's a winner in the situation, I mean, obviously Thomas Davis is going to be out there every down now, and we'll probably see the youngster Shaq Thompson take that other sub-package nickel linebacker role. Now, when Keekly went down last year, the same thing happened, and Thompson's stats didn't spike a lot. So I don't know that I would count on a huge game out of Thompson. But if you're desperate for some linebacker help this week, he is probably going to be out there three downs. So he might be able to get you a halfway decent game. I like Kirk Coleman a little more than I usually would, if only because, you know, when the linebackers get nicked up, a lot of times that means a few more tackle opportunities will get through them and to the safeties. Raiders are a favorable matchup, and Coleman's coming off a couple back-to-back decent outings. So I've got Kirk Coleman probably in DB2 territory for the week.
All right, Guy, we have a whole bunch of injury news regarding different IDPs this weekend. Let's talk about JPP. What are you expecting about him tomorrow?
He swears up and down he's going to play against Cleveland. the great matchup. He's coming off his best game of the season. You know, obviously the injury is a little concerning given how late in the fantasy season it is, and that for many teams this is, you know, a must-win week. But I think Pierre-Paul will go.
So, Gary, talking about your article, Studs and Duds, that you find on FantasySharks.com, guy that you like a lot this week is a guy who's certainly not everybody's favorite player in the NFL for a variety of reasons, but Vontaze Burfict goes up against the Ravens this week, and you feel like that this is a week where you really want to have him there in your lineup.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of people who don't like Vontaze Burfict, but they don't award fantasy points based on personality. So I think he's coming off of three consecutive games of at least 10 total tackles. I think he has at least 9 solos in every one of those games. He's going up against the Baltimore Ravens team this week that's second in fantasy points allowed. I mean, you never want to guarantee that a guy is going to go out there and get you double-digit tackles, but I think this is about as close to a guarantee as you're going to get. Yeah, there's not a linebacker in fantasy football I like more than Burfict this week. He's just been phenomenal for the Bengals most of the year, you know, since getting back into the lineup. So a ray of sunshine he isn't, and I wish he would lay off the nonsense after the play and just play football, because he's an immensely talented young linebacker. But he's going to get you a nice stat line this week. He's the kind of guy you can just build your whole defensive lineup around this week.
Yeah, I think saying Burfict is not a ray of sunshine is pretty accurate.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of NFL opponents would say he's far from that.
Yeah, he's an angry young man, as Billy Joel would say. Jimmy Smith, doubtful for Baltimore. How does this change your look about the Cincinnati passing game?
The Cincinnati passing game is a little harder to like since that Green fellow got hurt.
Who?
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure a lot of people picked up Tyler Boyd this passing, and he looked good. And Dalton wasn't shy about throwing his way once A.J. Green went down. I think the guy in the Bengals passing game you're going to want pretty much from here out is going to be Tyler Eifert. He's going to get targeted a ton. My biggest concern with LaFell and Tyler Boyd to be, I think it's going to be one of those situations where we could see, you know, Boyd have 6 catches one week and then 2 the next, because LaFell has 2 catches one week and then 6 the next. I just don't know if there's going to be any consistency there.
I spent a lot of August talking about how I love Tyler Boyd and he was going to be a breakout rookie.
And, so too.
And if he ends up going on a tear here, I promise
right.
I will be honest next July and saying I just got lucky. I didn't know A.J. Green obviously would get hurt in this manner, but if you stash Tyler Boyd in some deeper league up until now, well, it might just pay off. I know I did in a couple of leagues, and I actually have the opportunity to play him this week. So, interesting how things work out.
I would spend the whole summer saying, see, I told you, I said all summer long that Tyler Boyd was going to be a force. And I was right.
I've lamented it so much, Gary. I've lamented it so much for 11 weeks. Like, I can't believe how wrong this was, because I have to stare at him on my bench in a couple of leagues. And I've just capitulated to the point where I know I was dead wrong on this guy. But, again, long term, we'll see. You know, he's only a rookie. Rookie wide receivers in general don't really pan out. Everybody was in love with Will Fuller, and because of injuries and because the quarterback isn't really an NFL quarterback, Will Fuller's not working out. So these things happen with rookies. We all know that. But, you know, on that front, actually, it was a question I was going to ask you, so it's a good segue. I want to talk to you a little bit about either rookies that have broken out or guys that you see, because we see this every year in fantasy, right? Last year it was somebody like Tim Hightower. But anybody on the defensive side of the ball that you feel like might just be lightning in a bottle here as we get down to these last 4 or 5 weeks of the fantasy season. Anybody that you feel like has been a strong pickup or could take off here for the next month?
Oh, I think IDP-wise, especially if you're talking rookies, it's got to be Jatavis Brown in San Diego, who should be back in their lineup this weekend after missing, I think it was the last 2 games before the bye with a knee injury. He was putting up big numbers for the Chargers since Manti Te'o got hurt, come in, you know, saving grace for some IDP teams off the waiver wire. Then he hurts his knee, misses a couple games, winds up back on the waiver wire. A lot of leagues, they've had their bye. All indications are he's going to be back on the field for them this weekend. And if he is, he should be right back in IDP lineups. I mean, I think I have him just outside my top 10 this week, and it wouldn't be surprising if, say, next week, assuming that he plays, gets full complement, stays healthy, it wouldn't be surprised if he's back inside my top 10 moving forward. I mean, he has just played very well from both an NFL and an IDP perspective for San Diego, and I had high hopes for Denzel Perriman coming into the season. That obviously did not come to pass. He's becoming much like the inside linebacker that came before him in San Diego, Donald Butler, in that every time I predict he'll do something, he does nothing, which I don't necessarily appreciate. But yeah, Jatavis Brown is a guy I highly advise that if an impatient fantasy owner in your league let him go when he got hurt, he needs to be rostered right now. Maybe you feel a little antsy about starting him in his first game back after the injury, but by next week, he's a guy that needs to be in your lineup. He is a guy that is going to help people win leagues this year.
Gary, Seattle's a little beat up on defense. No Earl Thomas, no Michael Bennett. You feeling a little better about your Tampa Bay Buccaneers tomorrow?
Oh, maybe a little. Looks like they might not have Deshaun Sheet either. He's a game-time decision. In which case, if you're in a quarterback-required IDP league, Jeremy Lane is a guy who's going to be available on the waiver wire that is definitely worth a look. Deshaun Sheet is third in fantasy points among fantasy quarterbacks, and we have seen that happen time and time again. The guy that plays opposite Richard Sherman racks up fantasy, whether it was Brandon Brown or Byron Maxwell. Now it's Sheed. You're going up against a Tampa team that I think is fifth in fantasy points allowed to corners, largely because Mike Evans is the most targeted wide receiver in the National Football League. I'm sure they'll have Sherman on Evans most of the day, but I'm also sure that the Buccaneers will try to scheme ways to get Evans off of Richard Sherman, which will mean that Jeremy Lane's going to be covering him. We'll be looking later this afternoon when I go to finalize my lineups for this week in the leagues where I need a corner. I'll be checking to see if Mr. Lane is on the waiver wire, and if so, I will probably be snatching him up.
Gary, interesting thing about your article this week, which you can find on FantasySharks.com, against it's Gary Davenport from Fantasy Sharks and the Bleacher Report, is that your IDP sit of the week is Avery Williamson. I think last week he was your start of the week. Is that right?
Yes, and the week before that, he was my sit of the week. He's become the poster child for just how important matchups can be in IDP. 2 weeks ago, plays Green Bay. Green Bay, at the time, was the worst fantasy matchup for linebackers as a dud. I think he had two solos the entire game. Last week, comes back in a very favorable IDP matchup against the Colts. Bounces back quite nicely. This week, he's right back in against a team that is now the dead last in fantasy points allowed to linebackers in the Chicago Bears. And it's going to be another week. I know that teams at this point in the season with injuries and everything, you don't want to sit a guy who's been productive for you most of the season. But the matchup, the tackle opportunities, the Chicago offense is just horrible. And if an offense can't generate first downs and can't keep drives going, then the opportunities for those defenders on the opposing team to make plays just will not be there. So you're going to be lucky probably to see five or six total tackles out of Avery Williamson. And hopefully there are other guys on your bench who you can plug in who are going to get you more points in this particular week. I mean, I don't want to sit him this week, but in leagues where I know that I need a win to advance and make a late push for the playoffs, I'm going to sit him. You know, I would much rather have a guy like Jatavis Brown in there this week. That's for sure.
All right, Gary, in the Atlanta-Arizona game tomorrow, Tyrann Mathieu and Desmond Trufant, both questionable, may or may not play. How will this change the offenses?
Oh, I don't know that we'll see much change. Because I think Atlanta's pretty much going to do what they're going to do. And Arizona would like to be able to do what they would normally do, but that's been most of their problem this season, is that the offense can't do what they're used to doing. It's for Arizona, it's for the Atlanta IDPs going up against Arizona. It's a great matchup for the pass rushers. I look for a nice game out of Adrian Claiborne. And it's a great game for the secondary. Arizona is first in fantasy points allowed to defensive linemen and to defensive backs. And I think they're 30th or 31st in fantasy points allowed to linebackers. So you're not going to want the Falcons, Devondre Campbell and Deion Jones. You don't want those guys in there. Not only is the matchup awful, but Atlanta's last game before their bye, neither one of those guys played a full complement of snaps. They had them on and off the field. I mean, it was a fairly low percent. I think it was 60, 65% of the snaps. And you want your linebacker on the field more than that, especially in a bad matchup. So Adrian Claiborne, Keanu Neal, we like those guys. Devondre Campbell, Deion Jones, we know like you those guys.
All right, Gary, rapid fire. How many guaranteed millions is Kirk Cousins going to see this offseason? Let's assume he gets the long-term deal that we anticipate. How many guaranteed?
65.
65. That's a good day.
Not bad.
That's a good day when you sign that deal. Which fantasy duo do you like the best this Sunday? Eli and Beckham, Brady and Edelman, Russ Wilson and Baldwin, or Breeze and Brandon Cooks?
Breeze and Brandon Cooks.
Wow. Going against the public there. And last thing, what was your favorite thing that you ate on Thursday?
Oh, the scalloped potatoes. I got a huge pan of leftovers.
He got him. He's delivered. Look at that. He previewed it and he reviewed it. He nailed it. Good for you, Gary. I appreciate your consistency, and that's why we have you on every week talking about scalloped potatoes and the Buckeyes and whatever else. And we
throw
in some NFL defensive stuff, too. So, good luck with your Bucks at 12 o'clock. I would say go blue, but I don't really want to see Michigan win either. So, Gary, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week. There you go, says Gary Davenport from FantasySharks.com. Catch him on Bleacher Report as well. So we'll be back after the break. George and I will continue to walk through the NFL slate as we head towards 10 o'clock for College Game Day. It's Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. On the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we'll continue to go through the games. We just had Gary Davenport on. He gave you some good ideas about defensive players you want to start this week. But we'll continue to roll through these games. Where we have up next let's see which game I want to go to next. Seahawks-Bucks is the one I wanted to do next because we talked a little bit about some of these matchups already. You got Thomas Rawls in a sweet matchup from a DFS standpoint. Thomas Rawls is one of your top values of the week this week across the entire slate. And we have, as George mentioned, in questions he was asking Gary, we got a banged up secondary in Seattle. Earl Thomas is out. Sheed may not play. They've been playing great, but are still banged up, and the schedule that Seattle's had the last few weeks is crazy. They're in New England for a Sunday night game, back now across the country again to Tampa. So we have the Seahawks going up against the Bucks. First, give me your take on, we love Rawls, right, in this matchup. We love Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin, right? But give me your thoughts on the Bucks, because this is the ones that we're probably concerned about. Evans, by sheer targets, he's always going to be out there, but are you pulling back on your expectations on Mike Evans?
Sure, I'll pull back, but the target's going to be there, the catches will be there. They can't go away from him. I think it's at home, it's in Tampa. They're going cross-country again. Seattle's a very good team, but they're shorthanded. No Thomas, no Bennett, they're shorthanded. This game smells like it might be a little bit high-scoring here, maybe more than we thought. I think Seattle still wins the game. I think the Seattle's the best team in the NFC and maybe the league, especially once they get healthy. I think they're doing what Seattle does every year. Slow start, it's not the Seahawks of old. Then all of a sudden, the second half comes on and boom. They're back to what they used to be. Russell Wilson's healthy. The running game scares me a little bit. Rolls, you watched last week, he looked good, but he runs hard.
Very.
That's a good thing, but it also is a bad thing. Because I think he's out of control sometimes, where it leads to these injuries that you're worried about with him. Maybe it's his first game back, really wanted to play, a little adrenaline's flowing fine. I think he's to calm down a little bit.
That was one of those situations. Like, wow, this guy's going to run everybody over.
Right.
He's going to try to run everybody over.
He wants to run to this building, that building, and the building next door.
Like, similarly, I see Cam Newton get into those situations early in games, and I'm like, all right, I know you're the biggest guy out here, but, like, can we pace ourselves?
Right.
We
got 60 minutes. You prove it every play.
Right.
Okay, so I think that's one thing that worries me about Rawls a little bit, that he's not going to last. But that being said, I'm starting him. signing Baldwin, signing Russell Wilson, starting Evans. Doug Martin, I can't see how you can't start, but I'm not expecting big things from him. I think it's going to be a tough matchup for him. After that, it gets a little more dicey.
Any other Tampa
Jimmy
players?
Jimmy Graham, Tampa Bay. Brate is a...
I heard Scott Engel talking about picking up Adam Humphreys just for the stretch run, but this isn't the week.
Yeah, it depends on the stretch run. Are we talking this game? Stretch run, I'm okay with that. Someone else got to catch the ball there. But I think after this week, it's more Evans and then Brate more than Humphreys. I think Brate's the number two choice, and he's the guy I'd really want there. I think that's where the target's going to be, just maybe not tomorrow.
Especially with a banged-up Earl Thomas, maybe a little bit.
I think Tampa Bay moves the ball through the passing more than we think tomorrow.
Yeah, and I want to highlight the schedule to go back to what we were talking about. I don't know if people realize exactly how rough it's been for Seattle. And you could say, you can discount it all you want. I'm just saying that in Week 8, they had to go across the country and play in New Orleans. Then they had a home game against Buffalo. Then they had to go across the country for a Sunday night game against New England. Then they had a home game against Philly. Now they're going back across the country again to Tampa. Seattle to Tampa, it's about as far as it's going to get in the entire NFL. So that's kind of a brutal stretch of travel right there. And we'll see if it is wearing on them.
They probably have the worst travel every year.
Yeah.
But this year it does seem to be especially...
That little window right there, it's incredible. And they've also traveled to the Jets earlier in the season. So
fun.
A lot of cross-country travel for them when they're playing against the AFC
Get
East.
Those frequent flyer miles, man.
Yep. So on the Seattle side, we like Rawls, we like Baldwin. Anybody else there?
Graham.
Obviously Graham. But I heard somebody mention in Tyler Lockett. I can't even talk about the guy anymore.
Listen, it's week 12. You're still waiting?
Yeah.
When's it happening, folks?
I'm out.
All right, what's happening?
Doesn't mean you have to release him, but it does mean that there's other guys you could have picked up all these weeks that are playing better than him.
Right.
Yeah, it's just...
Maybe it does happen tomorrow. You can throw on Tampa Bay, but I'm not starting him. He's got to show me a week or two before I think about putting him on my starting lineup.
Yeah, like how deep is your league that you're looking to start that guy this week? Moving on to the next game, we have New England at New York. We've talked about some injuries that they have already. We expect Gronk to be out, expect Bennett to be in. But this is the type of, especially this team, you have to be mindful of the inactives. Because for all we know, Bennett could be out and Gronk could be in, and Gronk could be a decoy, and then Deion Lewis catches the ball 10 times. It's a very difficult team to predict, as we've talked about time and time again. So give me your thoughts, who you really like in this matchup for the Pats first.
I think Belichick loves this.
Yeah.
Keep everybody guessing. You don't know who's going to play, who's healthy, who's
especially
not.
Especially now that he has Lewis back.
Right, because he has so many options to throw at you, which will drive fantasy owners nuts. Because he's going to play who he thinks he's going to get the best matchup that week, who gets the best chance to win. He's not trying to make anybody happy. He doesn't care.
So who's your favorite Pats player this week?
Other
than Brady?
Edelman.
I'm with you.
I'll go Edelman there. I think Bennett's going to do well. And after that, though, that's where it gets scary. Because I think now we saw Deion Lewis is back. Didn't get a full-time role last week, but he's back. LeGarrette Blount would be somebody I would trust as well. No problem with Blount. But now you're talking with Lewis
only
and White.
But Blount, you're going to need him to get in the end zone, right?
The 126 yards wasn't good enough for you last week?
Well, I'm not saying that Blount's not a great yardage guy. I'm saying
you're starting
Blount. Against the Jets, you might have to pull back your expectations. You got to start him.
You need everybody to get the touchdown to get a good week. Are you ever sitting Ezekiel Elliott? No.
Of course not.
Why are you sitting Blount?
I'm not sitting him.
You're not starting him. So it's worth it. You're starting Blount. Deion Lewis and James White have no effect on Blount. None. They're not both going to play at the same time. They're both going to play with Blount, which means if one's in, it's not Blount's ball to carry anyway that time. So I'm not worried about Blount in regards to Lewis and White, but I am worried about Lewis and White because I think Lewis is going to get more carries this week and more touches this week. That takes away from White. Doesn't take away from Blount. Takes away from White. Maybe those two are more in a 50-50 role until Lewis proves he's completely healthy. I also think maybe it gets White a little kick in the butt. White wasn't playing that well before last week, two or three games before that. So maybe then now Lewis coming back kicks him in the butt a little bit, realizing, hey, you don't start playing well again, Lewis taking your job, go away.
It's interesting that you say that because Tony and I talked about this on the Game Day Rewind show last week. I was of the opinion that you don't really have to panic if you're a James White owner. I thought they would continue to use him enough, but now
You always have to panic for James White.
I've changed my tune a little bit because I think that at some point there's just too many mouths to feed.
That's
right?
The problem. Even though White was playing great, Lewis was still going to play, and those touches were being taken away from White.
Yep.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, since always didn't matter how well White played, Lewis was the same. It's the same player.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and you know, you could obviously you could split those guys out too. They could play sort of the Chris Hogan role or the Julian Edelman role for a couple of plays here and there.
Hogan's questionable tomorrow.
That's right.
Mitchell could be a play in deeper leagues.
Right, Malcolm Mitchell.
If Hogan's out, I'm probably not going with him if Hogan's in. But if Hogan's out, he could be a play there if you need somebody. Jets have been susceptible to the long ball.
Speaking of the Jets, anybody you like there?
I mean. I think going back to Fitzpatrick
was a mistake.
George's
face says it all, folks. We're not televised, but George's deadpan look at me when I mentioned the Jets was telling.
I like Forte. I think Forte is a start running back, too. I think the Jets made the right move as far as to if they wanted to win a football game, yes, then going to Fitzpatrick's the right thing. Because you weren't going to beat New England Petty ever. You know, so I get that. But Fitzpatrick's not going to be there next year. You know that, right? He's not. You need to find out, don't you? What's the point of you're probably not being New England even with Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
So what's the point here?
Seriously,
what's the point?
I don't get it.
You know, so
I had a lot of confidence in this coach GM combo about a year ago, and now
yeah, it's gone downhill.
The way these last 8 weeks have played out, I'm just sort of scratching my head.
But for fantasy wise, you want Fitzpatrick in there. It makes Marshall usable again. Now I'm not saying you're starting tomorrow. He's no more than a wide receiver 3 at best, maybe even flex consideration there. So maybe you want to stay away. But I do think the Bengals got to throw the ball. The Jets got to throw the ball a bunch, which should put Marshall in your sights again. I'm not expecting a big thing here, but and Marshall. What's sad about this is Marshall's no longer anywhere near a must start, which he wasn't on draft day.
Yeah, Brandon Marshall is probably one of the guys that let you down the most, the guys that haven't gotten injured, because realistically you've had to put him out there in the lineup each and every week, right? And he hasn't had a double-digit game since week 5 against Pittsburgh, which was a good game, really good game for him.
He's probably top 5 disappointment this year.
As was week 2, but really outside of that, he's done nothing for your fantasy team this year. Brandon Marshall's been a huge, huge disappointment, which is ironic because Decker's been out. We just thought after Decker was out, we're like, all right, so the offense isn't going to be as good, but the volume of targets will go up. It's just by sheer volume, you'll get there. But that hasn't even happened.
It's been a mess.
I listened to one NFL analyst, just back on the Fitzpatrick thing for a second. He made a great point. I can't remember who it was. Somebody on ESPN was just saying, where you could lose the team by putting Petty out there is if it's so obvious in practice that he can't do it. And Fitz goes out there and is, he is what he is. And he's running the offense fine in practice. But Petty kind of doesn't know what he's doing and is missing throws. Then you could lose the team. So that's the one point that I heard that could make sense of all of this. If Bowles and everybody on the sidelines is watching during practice, it's like, Petty can't do it. He just can't go out there and get the job done at all. We have to put Fitz back out there. Gino, whatever. Gino's off the roster anyway. Petty may now be, and they'll just develop Hackenberg with another sad sack veteran to come in there and carry somebody else's water for a year until they get to start. And we obviously don't know what Hackenberg is. He's another project. That's the irony of their depth chart. They have two complete projects on the roster, one of which may be a failure in Petty if they think he can't get the offense at this point 2 years in. So beyond that, go into another game real quick. We talked Niners Dolphins already. Chiefs Broncos to talk about that. Devontae Booker, obviously people put a lot of stock into him, and now we're in a position where, what are your thoughts about Booker going up against the Chiefs?
I'm not liking this game at all for anybody.
Yeah, it's
this
a tough
game
one.
Smells 17-14, somewhere around that range. Where,
it's in Denver.
In Denver, low-scoring game. Denver's healthy on defense again. I mean, I'm starting Booker. I'm starting Ware. But I don't – everybody for running back twos. Neither one's really done much. You know, Ware hasn't done much in well over a month now. He's been quiet. You know, Alex Smith, we know the offense for Denver is a think and dunk. You know, it is what it is. No Jeremy Maclin, so Tyreek Hill goes up a little bit, but I hate the matchup. You know, I hate going him going against Akeem Talib. I just don't see much here. You know, I don't Travis Kelce. I'm probably the KC side, probably highest on Kelce. On the Denver side, they're coming off a bye, so that should help so much, right? has to help out Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, maybe the passing game there. So I'm a little interested, but they're no more than wide receiver twos at
Simeon
best.
Simeon looks like a guy's just, I just don't want to lose my job. Like, that's how it's progressing. But his job's gone next year anyway, probably.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
If not Paxton Lynch, then we're going to hear this.
Yeah, you don't draft that guy there and say, ah, you know what? Well, we like Simeon. Like, he hasn't done anything this year to keep that job.
Let's say, you know, for Denver, you can see how this is going to play out. Let's say Denver gets knocked out in the first round of playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, all you're going to hear all offseason is Tony Romo. That's all you're going to hear. Because they're a veteran team. That we're, you know, they're going to compare Romo to the last year of Manning. Veteran quarterback, just do enough to let that defense win you games.
And that would get us off the Arizona conversation and get Romo out of the NFC.
That's why it makes sense. Because I think for Arizona...
is Lynch... If they drafted Lynch where they drafted him and he's that much of a project, then that's an issue.
But does it – remember, Elway comes from a time where you let rookie quarterback sit.
For that long?
Two, three years was normal.
No, it was
back
definitely
then.
Normal. I agree. Steve McNair sat for a long time and Rodgers.
A long time.
Yeah. It's really a much more recent phenomenon.
It's because of the contract situation where you got to get these guys in there.
But now, ironically, we've come full circle where the contracts aren't a burden anymore.
So I think a lot of it will come down to what Jerry Jones wants. But it'll make sense. You can put Romo in there who's got at least 2 years left. Won't play 16 games anyway, so you'll still need Lynch.
Yeah.
You know, where you can play 2-3 games a year. Romo in there gives you a much better chance to win. So I think it's what you're going to hear. And it makes sense because, as you mentioned, gets him out of the NFC.
Yep.
I think Dallas actually plays the AFC West next year, which would be ironic in itself. But I think that makes sense for all parties there. So you'll hear about that. And I think Jones wants to do right by Romo, so he won't ask for an arm and a leg, which is why it'll also work out for Denver.
He doesn't want to put him in Chicago or something like that where it's just a disaster.
No, Cleveland, same thing. Yeah. I don't think Romo would want to go there.
Yeah.
You know, the Jets, I think, would make some sense as well.
Yep, they would.
Because of the veteran receivers there. But I think you're going to hear a lot. Assuming things work out and Denver doesn't go far in the playoffs, and it's the quarterback's fault, which it probably will be, I think you're going to hear a lot of Romo to Denver.
So there you go. That's a little bit on Denver. Really expect, obviously, like George said, Jeremy Maclin is out, so we don't have a ton of options there. Spencer Ware, Devontae Booker, guys that you're going to have in your lineup, but you might have to pull back on your expectations. It's not what you want when you're pushing for the playoffs with only 2 weeks to go in most regular seasons. Some of you, this is the last week of your regular season, so good luck with that. But again, this is why we roll our best players out there every week. You try not to get cute, and you just hope the volume and the ability of these particular fantasy players will carry over the top and make take the week from what could be a disaster to a standard kind of average output. So that's it for Chiefs Broncos. We'll talk about more games after the break. It's Mike and George taking you all the way till 10. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Mike Blute along with George Kurtz. We are the Roto Experts, the Saturday edition of Roto Experts in the morning as we move along to the Packers. That team that has just gone south, the Green Bay Packers, they travel into Philly this Monday night for a Monday night matchup. Granted, the Packers have taken their lumps really here over the last few weeks. From the fantasy standpoint, we've seen Aaron Rodgers continue to put the ball up enough to make him valuable, but obviously that defense has suffered some huge blows. They've lost four games in a row where they've given up 33 to the Falcons, 31 to the Colts, 47 to the Titans, and 42 to Washington. So that defense has fallen apart. Some would say, well, Clay Matthews is hurt and Sam Shields is hurt. I think it was phony from the beginning, George. I never liked those defensive numbers. It's gone from bad to awful in a hurry. So, but more importantly, on the offensive side of the ball, we have Aaron Rodgers trying to right the ship. So what do you like about Aaron Rodgers this week at Philly?
Even Aaron Rodgers hasn't been Aaron Rodgers. He's not hitting the deep pass at all. His throws are off, which they never are. It's been a strange year for him. But that being said, of course, he's starting. You're starting Nelson. You're starting Cobb. You're maybe starting Devontae Adams, too. They're going to throw the ball a ton.
Yeah, I can't see any of those guys not being good enough options for you in most leagues.
There's a chance. And once again, I could see you could have where your receivers are so psychotically good.
Would you like Cobb or Willie Snead?
PPR?
Yep.
Snead.
It's our league.
Snead, safer play. Sure. You know, I think he'll catch it. You know, he's going to catch 4, 5, 6 balls in that game. So I'll go Snead there. Cobb might have higher upside because Snead's not really a touchdown guy. And he drops touchdowns when he gets the chance.
Oh, my God.
Of course, several leagues.
Yeah.
Not happy with him.
Snead is probably the one player that you and I collectively are most invested in. And
I haven't
he's not been as not been a starter every week, even though I trot him out there. He hasn't been starter worthy every week.
No, I haven't started him every week either. As far as when I think of Green Bay, my problem is it comes down to the running game. You know, Starks is the definition of touchdown dependent because he's not getting a lot of yardage. You know, he does get a lot of he'll get some attempts, but it seems like the yards are in the 50 to 60 range, you know, including passing and running. So you need that touchdown to get double digits. He's gotten them. So far he's getting them, but I don't know if you want to keep relying on that. You know, you brought up all the point totals that Green Bay's given up. You know, 40, you know, 35, 38. Does Philadelphia have the offensive weapons to take advantage of that? Carson Wentz has been a dink-and-dunk quarterback of late. Nelson Aguilar may not even play because he can't catch the ball. Right? That's not a joke there. They're saying they may have to bench him because he's having hand problems.
Yep.
Where he just can't catch the ball. Jordan Matthews is a nice receiver. Nothing great there. Daryl Green Beckham, though. I like Zach Ertz. I like Zach Ertz a lot. I think he's back to being where I thought he'd be a draft season. I'm starting Matthews. I'm starting Ertz. I think PPR leagues, you're going to get your catches here. 7, 8. Wouldn't shock me for either one of them. The run game's a small nightmare. I don't expect Ryan Matthews to play. I think he's out with the knee. I think Darren Sproles gives it a shot, but that's literally, he'll need a couple of shots to play. And then it's a pain tolerance issue. Wendell Smallwood. I'm starting to like him, but
he touched the ball
gamble.
Enough.
Will he touch it enough, though? That's my problem. I'm starting to like him. I know in the Scott Fishbowl. Are you in the Scott Fishbowl?
No.
In the Scott Fishbowl because I'm crushed at running back. If you were a starting running back and you were available, I'd start you.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm going to start Smallwood. I'm starting over Sproles in that league.
Do you think that this game has the possibility to be up and down the field both ways?
I don't like Philly's offense enough, the weapons enough to go up and down. And I think Philly has a good enough defense to slow down Green Bay. So not up and down the field like we've seen. Not like the Washington game last week with it. You know, boom, boom, boom. It was a Tecmo Bowl game. I don't see that. But pretty close. You know, it just comes down to which defense can Philadelphia play good enough and can Green Bay play at all.
Yeah, Jordan Matthews is a head-scratcher for me here, too. To your point, if Aguilar gets benched, you like Ertz, and maybe it's an Ertz-Matthews Sproles as long as he can hack it.
If you're not starting Matthews this week, then when?
I agree.
I mean, then when?
I agree.
He probably shouldn't be on your team then.
Yeah, we just detailed how bad the Packers' pass defense is. You know, Mariota lit them up, as did Cousins. So it's just, at this point, if you're not playing Jordan Matthews, to George's point, then why is he on your roster? Unless you're so stacked that...
Right, you can be incredibly deep and he's just depth for you, fine.
Yeah. So moving on to another game, we got Rams-Saints. Jared Goff, his second game. Unfortunate for him. You know, listen, he didn't do anything great, but unfortunate for him that the defense blew it at the end for them. Miami comes back with a big win there, and the Rams take the L at the end of the game. Sort of big comeback by Tannehill and getting into the end zone there in the last minute. But now the Rams go to New Orleans, which is a nice soft landing for Goff as far as the defense he's going up against. But what do we expect here? Todd Gurley, I think he plays even though he's been sick the last couple of days. So give me your thoughts on the Rams first.
Yeah, well, Saints have been playing better defensive late. I don't know what that says. Is it better defense or offense? The offense they've been playing, not been playing well. So, listen, I'm starting Gurley, running back two. Hey, he got the end zone last week. Yay!
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Still no games with 85 yards rushing or more.
And he's still not he's still one of my biggest busts of the year, biggest fantasy turkeys, shall we say?
Yeah.
You mentioned Brandon Marshall. I think you put
Did you just come up with that on the spot, or have you been holding that, the fantasy turkeys?
I've been holding that.
All right.
Yeah,
I knew it. He had that one holstered, ready to go. All right. That's nice. It's holiday appropriate, so I can appreciate it.
I do try.
Yeah.
Listen, I do try. I'm a professional, Mike.
You are. Very very much so.
He may be the only player on Los Angeles I'm thinking about starting, and that's against the Saints in New Orleans. I'm certainly not starting Goff. I can give Britt some consideration, but I just don't trust Goff. I just don't know. Did you watch the game last week? I mean, not the game live, but did you watch the little replay on DirecTV where they give you the quick view? I did, which pretty much lets you know the status of my life that I actually thought an hour, this 45, whatever that takes. But that was the most basic vanilla. My high school team had a more complicated offense than that last week.
Yeah.
I mean, they obviously don't trust Goff in the offense.
Yeah.
They don't think, you know, that's very obvious.
That's the problem. I think it's, you know, similar how the Jets can't roll everything out with Petty. They feel like they can't roll everything out with Goff, but it's a really different dynamic.
I mean,
they invested in everything.
I've had flake football teams that had a more complicated offense. So that was pretty ugly last week. I don't think it's going to get much better. You know, Saints, it's in the dome. I'll say it again. If you have a Saint in the dome, you're not starting him, why is he on your team? We already said Snead, Thomas, Cooks. Fleener's one guy I might be a little worried about. But even he, if he's on my team, he's starting. If he's not starting, I'm getting rid of him. Why is he on my team then? Why are you carrying two tight ends if you're not ever going to start him in the dome? All right, then he should go. Go bye-bye. Go get a running back or a wide receiver.
Yeah, to this point in the season, talking about Gurley, he's touched the ball over 200 times. We are still not at 800 yards total, and he's got four touchdowns. So we're struggling.
That's putting it nicely, and hasn't been hurt. He's played all the games.
Right? We are struggling. There's no volume of plays here, when there is.
When you talk of fantasy turkey, it's either him with DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, those are the first-rounders,
right? First-round picks that have played all year and are complete busts.
You and I are both culpable here. We both had those guys inside
of our top six. Don't talk to me about Gurley, man.
No.
I was down on him, too.
Yeah. Well, I got Gurley. Hopkins, you got Hopkins. So both inside of our top six there.
I had Hopkins number four.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, listen, you're playing Gurley. You have a nice little output here, but on the season, we've seen the struggles happen, regardless of who the opponent is. Todd Gurley doesn't have a 100-yard game. He's got one 85-yard game, and that was against Tampa
The question with Gurley is why? Why has he been so bad?
I think it's what you talked about in the preseason. You're worried about 8-9-man fronts, and that's what's happened.
And Keenum just couldn't.
And now it's even worse.
Now we know why now. Yeah. It's certainly everybody's in the box now.
Yeah.
Especially after seeing last week where if I could decipher what the Rams offense is doing, you know every defensive coordinator can. So that's certainly a problem.
So which Saint do you like the best this week?
Besides Breeze?
Yeah.
We said Cooks, right? We put Cooks in the poll. I'll go Cooks.
But I wonder if that was a mistake. I wonder if it's Thomas instead of Cooks.
Thomas been a little quiet the past 2 weeks, making some mistakes. Cooks.
All right. So Brandon Cooks.
Listen, if I have Thomas, I'm starting him too.
Yeah. So that Snead Cobb, Antonio Gates conundrum for me in that one league is going to be tough. I got to figure that out. I do think what you said is reasonable about Snead, but with that Cobb upside, maybe I need to go upside because I'm playing the first place team. It's very rare that I take the opponent into account. I just wonder if I need to try to go for the upside guy in this scenario.
I don't even know who I'm playing.
So there you go. So that's how you are, George. You just focus on your team. You don't worry about your record. You don't worry who you play. You just try to put up the most points, and that's everything else takes care of itself. So we shall see. So we will go rapid fire in the last few games of the week. After the break, we are just about up with our 2 hours. We've got one last segment before we hand it off to College Game Day with Joe Lisi and Rich Cerminello. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back. A few minutes to go in the program. Going to go rapid fire here with George. Chargers going to face Houston, coming off the Mexico loss against the Raiders. Do you think there's going to be any green laser pointers pointed at Brock Osweiler in his home stadium this week in Houston?
What does it matter? he's been pretty awful this year, right? They don't even look Hopkins' way. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, yes, all the fantasy owners, we all got screwed last week. That was a touchdown, and it cost me two leagues. Mm-hmm. So I'm certainly not happy about that.
Do you think he scores if they don't blow the whistle? That's the one thing I was trying to debate.
It was nobody close.
Yeah, I thought the one guy kind of gave up on the play.
That's a score.
But it looked like a touchdown to me.
That's a score. I mean, and once again, the refs have to know this. I mean, the play's going to be reviewed free of charge to everybody if he's a scoring play.
Yeah.
Don't blow it unless you're sure.
I'm with you on this.
You can't make that mistake.
You just can't
make that mistake.
I don't have a counterpoint to this. I'm totally with you. Just swallow the whistle until it's a done deal.
Unless you're positive, he stepped out. You don't blow the whistle. It's not even close to either team a red flag. Mm-hmm. Scoring play, mm-hmm. So it'll be reviewed automatically.
100%.
So that's disappointing that happened. And like I said, it might have cost Houston the game, and it certainly cost a lot of fantasy owners. I'm certainly not the only one there. But like I said, the most fantasy wise, they just don't look Hopkins' way. They just don't. For whatever reason, he's not the focal point of that offense. CJ Fedorowicz looks like the focal point of that offense. where a lot of throws. He dropped a couple of balls too.
Kind of a nice pickup, all right, mid-season sure. Tight end pickup. CJ Fedorowicz. I heard a couple people on this station talking about it the other day. Fedorowicz has actually become a really legitimate tight end option here.
Between 10 and 14, I'd say tight end one. I've got him in two leagues, and I'm starting this week. Maybe because I don't have Gronk going. So disappointing as far as that's concerned. I don't think it's any better this week. And the matchup's good for Hopkins, but won't look his way, it doesn't matter. You know, the matchup was good last week too. They don't look his way.
Six targets last week for Hopkins. That's a guy that last year was averaging double digit targets, and Fedorowicz gets 10 targets and Hopkins 6. That is a
Osweiler,
not the type of hierarchy you need in targets in that team.
Osweiler's another guy who doesn't look to throw the ball to the secondary. He's looking for all underneath patterns. For San Diego, you know, coming up the bar, you're starting Rivers, I would assume. Although Houston does a good job against the pass. They're not a team you should be able to go up and down the field on, but still, Rivers is Rivers. I think, you're starting Gordon, of course. I want Williams over Benjamin, although once again, same problem exists. Houston good against the pass. Charis Benjamin is back. I don't care. I think that knee's going to bother him all year long. So I don't think he's really in start consideration for me unless you're desperate. So I want to stay away from Charis Benjamin. The tight end is really where it gets fun. You know, Gates, Henry. Henry's catching a lot of touchdowns. Gates played well of late as well. I would start Gates over Henry, but I think it's closer than we think.
Go to next game, Jags-Bills. Bortles, like you said, not light the world on fire from an NFL perspective, but Bortles has been getting enough done from a fantasy standpoint to at least keep you in the mix almost every week, and in some instances put up huge numbers. So you like Bortles this week on the road against Buffalo with Buffalo's offense, entire offense banged up.
I just answered a question during the last break in the Roto Experts email answer queue. Ding! About the same question. Bortles or Taylor? Who do you want to start? Bortles or Taylor? I think this is an ugly game. This smells like an ugly game. Buffalo's all beat up. I mean, I don't want to start McCoy at all if I can avoid it. I don't like the thumb. I can't see how he's going to be able to stiff arm. If he lands on, I don't see how he plays a full game here. Just don't see it. And I wonder if Mike Gillisley was healthy. Maybe, you know, McCoy doesn't play anyway. I wonder if they're pushing him here. Watkins can't start him. I think he's on a snap count. I doubt he's 100% either. So I think he's playing without it. Robert Woods probably out. Not much left there for Buffalo. Now you go to the Jacksonville side.
Percy Harvin.
Really?
I'm just saying. Really? That's the only guy left standing. And I'd rather he's not even a guy I would ever even roster, let alone start.
I'd rather start Andrew Reed.
Yeah.
Okay, no, I'm not starting Percy Harvin. You go to the Jacksonville side. It's a bad defense to go up against for them. He's going to give up turnovers to normal defenses. Buffalo will come after him. He'll make some mistakes there. Robinson, I'm probably starting him. Nobody else. I'm not starting Allen Hurns, who's been invisible. Forget Marquise Lee. I'll stay away from him this week. He was a nice deep league play for a while. Chris Ivory, though, low-end running back, too.
Robinson you have on the bench, Allen Robinson.
No, I'm starting him.
Okay, all right.
Julius Thomas.
Got it. No Julius Thomas. We got the Giants going up against the Browns. We like Eli and Beckham.
Rashad Jennings. I'm giving him. He's a mid-range running back, too.
Totally agree. Rashad Jennings is a guy that George and I personally, a couple of weeks ago, would have said, why do you even deal with the Giants running game? He's seen a nice uptick here in both volume and efficiency. Rashad Jennings could actually be in line for a good game tomorrow if the Giants get that lead that we expect.
Josh McCown, a quarterback for Cleveland, makes Gary Barnage a low-end wide receiver one again. You could look at him.
Very true.
Terrell, you're probably starting it, but I think the Giants are going to shut down that passing game. I think the Giants are a better defense than we think, even as far as a DST, low-end DST one.
Yeah, Ravens, we got going up against the Bengals. You know, we talked LaFell and Boyd earlier. We got Steve Smith and anybody else there on the Ravens.
Mike Wallace. I think they'll be okay. Pitta, no. I think I'll stay away. I think he can do better there. Jeremy Hill's, of course, a start. You and I both like Tyler Boyd. No Jimmy Smith tomorrow. We talked to Gary Davenport about that. I think Cincinnati will be able to do some damage through the air. Some. They won't be able to run that much.
Yeah, I have to start Andy Dalton in a league where Andrew Luck was down, so I'm sure some of you are in a similar kind of position. Andy Dalton might be a little bit better than you anticipate. We talked about Niners-Dolphins. Jay Ajayi is your guy there. You might see a little bit of volume towards Parker and Landry, but I think they're going to try and control it with Ajayi as long as those offensive linemen can stay on the field. That's it. We tried to pack in a lot in a short period of time this week. This was the Roto Experts in the Morning, the Saturday edition. Mike and George, we got College Game Day with Joe Lisi next. Thanks, folks.